The thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode. Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go, don't!
It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3. KTAR.
Welcome to another week and another edition of the Computer Corner. It's the show that talks to you about technology, about computers, about things in your world that frustrate you or that give you joy. Either way, we're here each and every Saturday from noon until 2. And we've been doing that for just over a decade. And we, in case you're wondering who we are the Data Doctors. You see us around town here in the Phoenix metro area. You see us around the country, all over the place. We've got those places where we hook people up with computer repair, with service. We come out to people's businesses. We recover data. We sell computers. We do all kinds of stuff during the week. And then we bring all that knowledge, all that experience, everything that we learn, everything that we see going on out in the world, in the real world with computers, we bring all that here for you each Saturday to try to help you out with things in your life. And so if you do nothing else, and if you listen to this show, I'm sure you'll walk away with things that will help you avoid problems, things that will help you avoid frustration, things that will save you time, things that will save you money. And we do it all for free. All we ask from you is to come hang out with us and to participate. We've got lots of ways for you to do that. The first and far easiest way, and a popular way, is to hang out with us on the phones. You can give us a call, 602-277-5827. It's 277-KTAR. We made it easy for you. 277-KTAR. I'll warn you, if you want to give us a call, now is a great time to do that. Because almost always the lines book up within about 2 minutes of starting the show, and they stay that way. As soon as somebody drops off, we answer their question, somebody else pops right on, and the lines stay packed pretty much the whole time. So now's the time for you to dial in or commit that number to memory, and when you hear us sign off with someone that we helped, that's your turn to jump on board. Again, 602-277-5827. Now, I told you about Data Doctors and what we do. I'll tell you about the guys in the room today, because we mix it up a little bit from time to time. We bring in different people, and a lot of the same people sort of rotate through. Today, myself, Brandon Disney, have been with Data Doctors, gosh, I think it's 14 years now. So I've been there just a little while. I'm not quite a new guy yet.
I think you prepped for your interview with Data Doctors driving down from graduation after college, didn't you?
Something like that. I can't remember past last week. So I've got some technical skills. Have seen quite a few things. I've seen a lot of evolution of computers, both for consumers and businesses, and hopefully I can help bring some of that to help you with your problems, your questions, your issues, and for the topic we'll talk about today. Across from me, Robert D'Arezio. How'd I do?
Perfect.
I'm getting better and better.
Getting better and better. Getting better than me.
Yeah. Pretty soon I'm going to be able to pronounce his name better than he can. Robert spends a lot of time talking to a lot of people in our organization. He's on the phones quite a bit. He talks to people face to face. He is, I can't think of someone either in the organization or a customer that has to interface with Robert that wouldn't think, wow, is that maybe the nicest guy I've ever talked to in my life? Right?
Yeah, you know, just sit there and listen to him and hear stories about his cars. And
he's not pretty, only a nice
pretty
guy.
Pretty calming.
He's not only a nice guy. He's a guy that's really enthusiastic about technology and about computers. He's into it. He's also into cars, as it turns out, which I didn't know until a couple weeks ago. And he's kind of nuts about that. So he's here to help you out with whatever you got going on as well. And he'll chime in from time to time, assuming that I allow him. I don't say that because I wouldn't, but
Well, you don't want to have dead air. Well, so you just got to keep talking.
The dead air is okay.
Yeah, I don't think so.
No, it's all right. Dramatic pauses. The other guy you hear to my right, far right, talking, Kevin Church, a regular fixture here on the show. He does all kinds of things. He has just about every hat you can have in the organization, and also spends lots and lots of time out in stores here locally. Spends a lot of time sort of remotely in some of the other markets. We've got stores and things, and interfaces with customers at town. He's the guy that in the odd chance that we didn't do something right the first time, he's the guy making sure it gets fixed and it gets solved, and that we're not that kind of company that would maybe run from a problem. Instead, we hit problems head on, tackle them, get them taken care of, and you're going to be in business 21 years. That's the kind of thing I guess you got to do to stay there, right?
Yep.
So that's what Kevin does. And then all of us, again, here, help you each weekend, hook you up with mad knowledge and mad skills, that ends with a Z, so that you can navigate your way through the technology maze that is the computer. Now, if you've been listening to the show for more than the last week, month, year, decade or so, you know already that each week we have a theme. And if you really are super dedicated, you're always coming, listening to the show, that kind of thing, then you've probably already done a little preview look, which you can do at our website. We generally have all the show content stuff posted up Friday afternoon. We don't like to give it away too early. And we post that up, datadoctors.com/radio. For people that don't like to do the whole slash thing because they want to type as little as possible, our website, datadoctors.com, click where it says radio show, you'll see the same thing. And when you're there, you'll see that this week we have a theme. It's something that we might get a lot of calls about because I think people are going to be interested. It's Windows 7, a second look. And the reason we're talking about Windows 7, we're getting a lot of people asking. I hear it's coming out. There's a lot of rumors. Originally, Microsoft had said second quarter of 2010. They came back and sort of revised that and said first quarter, January perhaps, early first quarter. There's a lot of speculation right now that date actually has moved up even more, and nothing confirmed yet, but people are guessing somewhere in October of this year that the new version, the next new version of Windows, will be released. And I know what a lot of people are thinking right now, which is, well, they just released Windows Vista not too long ago. Well, it's been longer than you think, number one. Number two, you're also thinking, well, you can't upgrade because there's big compatibility problems. That's why nobody's upgraded to Vista. That's why there's been such a problem. This is just a fix for a problem that was already created. And that may or may not be the case, but we're going to talk about some of the things that I think Microsoft has learned from the past, some of the things going into Windows 7, some of the things that are available now in what they call a release candidate. And no, this is not for somebody that's a novice. This is for people that want to try out new technology. There is something called a release candidate, which is really generally the last sort of beta version, if you will, of a product Microsoft will have before they do what's called the general release. And because that release candidate is now out, and in fact it becomes available, I believe, on the 5th of May for the general masses. It's already been released to sort of the super tech crowd, guys who have what's called MSDN or TechNet subscriptions. They already have access to that, but it will be released more widely through that release candidate build in just a few days. And so that sort of signals to a lot of people that, yeah, this thing's right around the corner. That generally, that means that it's pretty close to getting locked down, and that's pretty close to what you'll see today is pretty close to what will be when it gets actually released in maybe a few months, maybe early next year. I don't know. So we've got lots of resources posted for you, datadoctors.com/radio. You can get a little sneak peek there. We'll talk about some of those things as the show sort of progresses. Of course, your calls and questions about whatever your technology frustrations and consternations are. We'll do all that here. It is the Computer Corner. We're going to take a quick time out here, get a check of, what's going on around the world. I guess we're not going to do that yet. We're going to do that in a little bit. Pete's looking at me like, gosh, what a rookie. It's not my first time. It's not my first rodeo, but you wouldn't know the difference. And now he's mumbling something, but I can't hear him. That's all right. We'll take a quick time out, come back with your calls and questions right here. It's the Computer Corner. Back after this. You know, we had a tip of the week we posted this week. in our newsletter, which you can subscribe to at our website, datadoctors.com. You look for the place to put in an email address, hit the subscribe button, and you get all kinds of things, including this tip, which was how to use the hidden clipbook program that's within Windows to take quick screen captures. And we got a lot of email back on that saying, for some reason, whatever we were trying to explain didn't work. And I think it's whatever we were trying to explain didn't quite come through. So for people that were wondering, gosh, I'm trying to understand how to make that work. You have hidden in Windows something called a clipboard or a clipbook. And it's there and it's running all the time. If you have something open on your screen and you want to take a snapshot of what you see there, you can simply hit the print screen button. And it's a button you've probably never even pushed on your keyboard if you don't know about this feature already. It's in the upper right-hand corner somewhere up there. You hit that button. It takes this imaginary snapshot of what's on the screen, but it doesn't do what you might expect it, which is like fire up your printer and print it out. There's a couple more steps involved. It's just captured into this imaginary space. And so to be able to deal with that picture, you have a couple of different options. If you wanted to embed that, for example, in a Word document, you just start up Microsoft Word and then click up on Edit and Paste. And magically, that thing that's held in that imaginary clipboard gets pasted into the document. And then you can resize it, you can drag it around, you can do whatever you want, and you could save that. Now, it'll be a little bit large if you do it that way, and it's as part of a Word document. If you wanted to actually just make it a picture, you can open up Paint. Remember old Microsoft Paint?
Oh, yeah.
Click under File and Programs and Accessories. Or not File, excuse me. Start, Programs and Accessories. And you'll find Paint, or you can click File, excuse me, File. Start, run, and type MS Paint. That's the quick way to get there. Once that's open, again, click on Edit and Paste, and it will drop right into Paint. And then you can crop it, you can resize it, you can do whatever you want, and then click on File, Save As. Pick a file type. As a suggestion, the default file type it'll want to save as, which is a bitmap.bmp, it'll be a large, large file. If you want it to be quite a bit smaller, choose a different file format. My favorite is PNG, which stands for Portable Network Graphic. And it will be much, 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 much smaller. And you can email that or print that or do whatever it is you want to do after that. So that's what that tip was trying to say. Again, if you want to subscribe to our newsletter and get tips like that and other good information that's helpful and free of ads and garbage, datadoctors.com, and look for the place to subscribe. It's pretty simple. It's pretty easy. It's pretty cool. Check it out. We'll talk about some of the other things in the newsletter as the show goes. So if you're not quite sure yet, by the end of the show, you'll be sure. Don't worry. So what do you think? Windows 7, have you seen it at all?
I've played around with it a little bit. I've been kind of reading a little bit more on some of the tech's opinions of it, since they're the most critical.
Did you just call me a moron?
Yeah.
Wow. That's kind of harsh. So there's some new features. The biggest one that was sort of a new, people talked about a surprise feature, and I think it was just about a week ago or so when folks got the latest release candidate. There was a new feature there. It's called Virtual XP, and it solves a huge, huge problem. And it doesn't sound very exciting. It's not very sexy. What they did was, using a product that's been around for a long time in the Microsoft arsenal called Virtual PC, they created in Windows 7 a sort of pre-configured, pre-built version of this Virtual PC that's XP, and it's already preloaded and ready to rock. Now, where this becomes powerful is one of the reasons people had a hard time sort of upgrading to and using Windows Vista is some of the programs weren't compatible. And compatibility has been an issue since I can remember with Windows. When you go from one major version to another, there's always these compatibility issues. And Windows XP was probably one of the most compatible, and that's where sort of people draw as the standard. And so people look at that and say, well, that's where I want to stay. And the majority of the world runs Windows XP still today because of that. Well, what Microsoft did was they embedded a version of Windows XP inside of Windows 7 such that you can run any application, and if it worked in Windows XP, it's guaranteed to work now under Windows 7, which takes a huge amount of fear away from people, especially business people. So it's kind of a huge deal. Anyway, we got more tips and more information about resources, about Windows 7 in general, right at our website, datadoctors.com/radio. And, of course, when we come back from this short break, we're going to take your calls and questions. We've got a line open for you, 602-277-5827. It is the Computer Corner right here on FM News Talk, 92.3 KTAR. Welcome back to the Computer Corner. We're talking about Windows 7, the next version of operating systems from Microsoft. If you're interested in resources and want to get yourself up to speed, there's some cool screenshots, some of the top features, the good stuff, the bad stuff, everything in between. It's datadoctors.com/radio. You can see those resources. Also, while you're there, you'll see links to ask questions, make suggestions, link to the site if you want to tell your friends about what you're reading about on Twitter, on Facebook, on whatever it is. We got links for all that. It's all good. It's all the time. Check it out. Should we go to the phones?
Yeah.
What do you think, Robert?
Let's do it.
Let's help people out to see if they're interested in Windows 7. And if not, well, at least we can hook them up with some help, right? Up first on the Computer Corner, it's Jerry.
Hi.
Hi, Jerry. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good. How can we help you?
Well, I have an error. And it says Windows no disk, and it says exception processing message C00005013.
Hey, Jerry, not to cut you off, but those messages, you know how much they mean to you?
Well, it's a...
It means nothing to you, and it means almost the same exact thing to us, which is unfortunate.
Okay.
Let me ask you a few questions about the error you're seeing.
Okay.
Is this before the machine's even gotten to sort of the graphical interface? Does it just like a black screen with white writing or
no,
a blue screen?
No, it comes up as soon as all my icons are on there and it comes up. I probably did something. I mean, I have been with computers most of my life since
okay.
they came out. It's something that comes on every time I get on and I just click. It says continue, you know, cancel. It won't cancel, so I go up to the X and cancel it that way, and I have to do it maybe half a dozen times. It's just annoying, but I can live with it.
Okay, so if you do this half a dozen times, then it goes away, and then you can use the machine like normal until next time you restart?
Yes.
Okay, so there's some good news. The good news is you can still get into Windows, and that's better news because of what I'm going to tell you to do next.
Oh, good.
Now, I know we're pretty smart guys over here, right?
Oh, hey, listen, I depend on you guys.
See, but I'm going to teach you a little secret, and it's just for you and me
and
Kevin and Robert and everybody else listening tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So that little error message you're getting,
mm-hmm.
if you can leave that on the screen, maybe drag it out of your way a little bit,
okay,
next time it comes up, then open up your favorite web browser, like Internet Explorer.
Oh, I'm... I can't do that because I don't have my Internet connected to this machine.
Okay, even better. On another machine, you can go on to Internet Explorer or Firefox, whatever your favorite browser is.
Okay.
What I want you to do is type that exact error message with all the numbers and letters and weird stuff, right?
Okay.
Type that exact thing into Google and search for it.
Okay.
My guess is you're not the first person to have this problem and you won't be the last. But the good news is somebody was so frustrated by this problem at one point that they went through a whole bunch of pain, figured out how to solve it, and then they did a really cool thing. They went and blogged about it or put it in a forum or talked about it somewhere on the internet, and Google found that, and they're going to hook you and that person or that group of people up.
Oh, great.
And they're going to probably have, here's what you do. It's because of this program, and uninstall it, and here's what you need to do. Now, hopefully, they gave some pretty simple instructions to follow, but if not, they probably are going to point you at least in the right direction,
mm-hmm.
where if you don't know what to do, you can get somebody that you can bribe with baked goods or adult beverages or who knows what.
Money.
Right? Well, that might work, too. And they can look at what you've got now that you've found and say, oh, yeah, what they're talking about is this. Here we go. We're going to go do this, this, that. Yeah, we're all fixed, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's sort of that's what I'd do if I was in front of it, because that error message to me, it's written in, I don't know what computers speak, but it's written in that.
Mm-hmm.
And Google's a really good resource when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Well, thank you so much.
You're back.
And I really do enjoy your program, and I usually call one of your stores anytime I have a problem.
Well, either way, we're here to help you. So
I know you are.
We appreciate you listening and hanging out with us, and give us a call either way.
Okay, thank you.
Good luck, and let us know how it works out.
Okay, I sure will.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You know, some of those problems that you get right at startup, you know, for those folks out there that are kind of experiencing the same thing, when it's starting up, obviously, it's starting different processes and programs and things like that that you have in the background.
Right.
And sometimes those errors that you get can be conflicting programs that start. You know, some of the things that we look at in one of our stores is right off the bat, how many processes are running. We hit control delete. We see a certain number. And then we know if, all right, is that a little excessive or not? And we usually say, you know, if it's XP, anything over 35 or 40, we probably want to question a little bit.
Yeah.
If we see Invista, it's over 45, there's probably some stuff in there we'd be concerned about. But some of those folks that just have a ton of processes running, I guarantee this problem is probably more common amongst them.
Yeah, it comes from that. It comes from you tried to remove something and it didn't quite get all the way out, and so it's like half there now. Or you installed something that's conflicting. Or there's lots of different reasons why what Jerry was experiencing can happen. But the big thing is figuring out. You know, it's coming from something that's automatically starting when Windows is starting. It's which one of the 10 places. And so rather than try to figure that out, a lot of times it's easier. When it's something simple like that, you don't have a bunch of issues going on. You can quickly do a little bit of research, figure out what it is, and then hopefully it leads to where to get rid of it. So,
Google is an amazing thing.
Google can be your friend and an extra super powerful search tip when you're there. If you have something very, very specific, like this weird error message she had, try just typing the whole thing in. It's got to be verbatim, meaning exactly the same, right? And searching. If it doesn't find, if it finds way too many results and it's just too much to weed through, take the same phrase and put it in quotes. That makes it forces Google to look at the phrase as a phrase instead of just as a jumble of words. So as a jumble of words, it can put them in any order and find matches, versus a phrase, it has to be in the exact order. So that helps narrow down that search sometimes as well. So give those things a shot. Let's see who's up next here. I think it is Jacob who's been hanging out the longest. Jacob, welcome to the Computer Corner. How can we help?
I have a Win32/Heuristic file, and I tried to get rid of it using Avast, and it deleted all of my Win32 processes.
Okay.
And I don't know what to do.
So does your machine boot to Windows at all anymore? Or
it boots to Windows, and it gives me a XP professional login window where you have to type in the username and then the password.
Okay.
I log in, it logs me right back out.
Interesting. So at this point, it sounds like there's been some damage to the operating system and things. Have you tried to go into safe mode?
I did not.
Well, that would be the first thing I'd try. And you know how to get into safe mode when you're from a sort of standing start?
F8.
Yep, F8. You start tapping that thing while it's sort of powering on, and it should give you some options. Safe mode is one of them. If you can get into safe mode without a problem, then it's not a issue with the sort of core operating system. It's something else. If you have the same kind of behavior when you're trying to do that, then it's time to make a choice. And the choice is, well, you could try to do a Windows repair, which is an involved process, but it sometimes will work. If that
and I have done that before on the same machine. But I finally just scrapped Windows, but this happened on another computer. And say you could get into safe mode, what would you do from there?
Well, then, I mean, it becomes pretty sort of advanced troubleshooting to figure out, well, there's something that's outside of Windows or beyond sort of the core of Windows that's causing the problem. And so you got to start eliminating as much as possible and start building back from there. So, for example, you would, if it was me, I'd take out any recently introduced hardware. I'd try to get rid of anything I could think of in the control panel. I'd remove programs that I didn't use anymore. You start eliminating as much as possible to see if you can get the problem to go away.
Okay.
And I mean, I don't know how to get more specific. It's everybody's computer is a little bit different, so. But removal is your friend, and start by minimizing, getting rid of everything that you can certainly live without and things that don't mean anything to you anymore. Obviously, before you do all this, sort of the overriding caveat that it should be part of everything we say. If you don't have what's important to you backed up, do that before you get any further.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. Thank you very much.
Good luck with that, Jacob.
All right.
Thanks for the call. Bye-bye. That frees up a line, 602-277-5827. 277 KTAR. We talking a little bit more about Windows 7. We talked about the cool virtual XP thing that's there that Microsoft says will guarantee that if a program ran in Windows XP, it will run on Windows 7, and they guarantee that. Now there's another sort of addition to that, which is they've put back a lot of drivers that were previously taken out. And so where you may not have had support for a particular printer, as an example, in Windows Vista, they're saying that they should have better support and more backwards compatibility than they had in the past. So they've recognized something key. One of the reasons people didn't jump on board with Windows Vista was that it was painful to do so. And you can't make things painful. It doesn't matter what kind of cool features. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter if it's got better performance. If at the end of the day, the things you need to get done don't work, people aren't going to go. And that was a lesson that they had to learn. And it sounds like they have. And from people I've talked to, the experience is good. From my own experience, things have been good. I haven't tested it with every application on the planet, but with the things I use regularly, works well. For those of you who loathe Internet Explorer, this should be the first version of Windows that you can actually remove Internet Explorer completely from it. In the past, all you could do is disable it, sort of hide it away, that kind of thing. You should be able to remove it completely. Now, there's still the framework underlying because it's part of being able to display certain things, but you can actually go into the Add Remove Programs, into the Windows Settings section, and uncheck the little box. It makes you reboot a few times, and it will completely remove the Internet Explorer executable so that it's not there anymore. So for people, again, I don't think it's that big a deal. I think it's good to have both. It's good to have choices, and the one that's built in is fine. If there's one you like in addition, that's fine too. But for those that really want it to be gone, it can be gone for the first time. So lots more features, lots more things, tips, information, pictures, good, bad, and otherwise, and resources available for you. If you want to check them out, datadoctors.com/radio. When we come back from this short break, we're going to talk to Brett, who has disappearing icons. Can't wait to find out what that is. Stick around. It's Computer Corner. Back right after this. Remember that Conficker worm? I know it wasn't that long ago, but the swine flu has taken over all the news, and it wasn't that long ago, just a few weeks ago, we were all concerned about this nasty virus out there in the world called Conficker, and then it didn't do much. Or did it? Reports of MRI systems, you know those things that like scan your body for stuff and like more advanced versions of x-rays, basically, right? Those MRI machines. There's in San Jose, over 300 hospital devices, including MRI systems, were infected with the Conficker worm and attacking other devices on the network. So see, Conficker is real. It's out there. It's just not widespread. Maybe this crazy swine flu everybody's freaking out about, maybe it's less of a threat than we think too. Maybe the media just loves to run with the story.
Well, I thought Conficker, you know, when you turn your computer off for April Fool's, you were good. You know, you just leave it off that one day and you were
good to go.
Good to go.
Right.
Yeah. I guess not.
Maybe not. Should we go back to the phones?
Yeah.
Before we left for the break, we said that there was a man in a world with icons disappearing. That man's name was Brett.
It's a horror story.
Brett, are you
I live
man?
In a dark, dark, scary world. Basically, my issue is I have a machine that it had a bad hard drive, so I did a fresh reinstall of Windows XP, and everything, you know, went in relatively, you know, smoothly. And, you know, for the first few days, there was the first few icons that normally show up when you have a fresh install, and it wasn't, you know, a littered screen. And then all of a sudden, the next day, there was just nothing. It was, you know, you've got your basic background, the start bars at the bottom and everything, but all the icons are just missing.
All the icons are gone?
All of them. Every single one.
You're talking about just the icons from the desktop, or if you click on
just the desktop, yes. Correct.
Okay. There are some third-party add-ons that you can install with Windows. In fact, I have one on my computer because I particularly like what you have, which is the appearance of a nice, clean desktop. There's a little bit of OCD in me, and the cat's now out of the bag, but I like it to look nice and clean. And so
sure.
I actually created a little shortcut, little deal, so that I can toggle that feature on and off.
Okay.
Now, that's not something built into Windows, but there are, like I said, there are third-party applications that let you do that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And all they're doing is manipulating some registry settings within Windows. So
okay.
I'm guessing, unless you installed one of these crazy third-party applications.
It hadn't been around long enough. Its computer hadn't been alive long enough to do that. So
you just, it's a fresh install, everything
fresh
looks
install,
normal. A few days later, all the icons are gone. You've tried restarting, nothing changes.
Yeah, nothing. And I hadn't even started really going in and throwing in, you know, my major programs or anything. I had just done a basic, let's get it up and rolling, and got, you know, QuickBooks on it. And that was about the only other software I have on it besides the basics.
Okay. And which version of Windows you said it was?
XP.
XP. Okay.
Pro. XP Pro.
Something has gone in and changed or damaged some kind of registry setting, and it could be something as simple as you installed what you think are the basics, including maybe your printer. You wanted to get that to work, and rather than going and downloading the latest printer driver for your name your printer here, you maybe stuck in that old disk that came with it. And if that thing's a couple years old, we see weird things happen with drivers especially.
Okay.
So I can't say that's for sure what the issue is,
sure.
But I would be suspicious of that kind of stuff.
Okay.
There's a feature in Windows XP that's enabled by default called the System Restore.
Uh-huh.
Now, before you use System Restore or again, just about anything, you want to make sure you back up what's critical and important to you.
Sure.
But assuming that's done, whether you do that now or you've been doing that regularly like a good boy, you can go in and try to pick a point in time to go back to. And because this happened relatively recently, if you can think back, well, everything was good on, you know, on Thursday, but on Friday, this is when I had this issue, then you could go back in time to Thursday. So you can find that System Restore feature by clicking on Start, then going to Programs and Accessories, and let me get there so I can tell you where to go from there. System Tools is the folder you want to be in. Inside of that, you'll find System Restore, and it's like a little wizard. You want to check, you know, the Restore My Computer to an Earlier Time and click Next, and so on. It'll display a little calendar.
Sure.
And let you pick dates, and they'll show dates that you have possible restore points on will show up in bold. So you can pick a date back in time when you think things were working properly and jump back to the future.
Okay.
It's the closest thing to a DeLorean we have in the computer world, my friend.
Well, hopefully it doesn't have the problems John DeLorean did. But,
well,
you know.
Yeah. 1.21 gigawatts is the key to everything, though. So
there you go. Exactly. I hit my head on the toilet, and there the answer was.
There you go. Hey, thanks.
All right, gentlemen. Thank you for your help.
Thanks for the call, and good luck with that, Brett.
Thank you.
We hope you can get to 88 miles an hour as quickly as possible.
Is that possible in a stainless steel car?
I don't know. There's a lot more Computer Corner to go. We got a full hour left and room for you at 602-277-5827. Back right after this news.
The thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode. Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go,
don't! It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3. KTAR.
Welcome to hour number two of the Computer Corner. If you missed any part of the first hour, well, first, what the heck's wrong with you? Second, we're glad you're joining us for the second hour. And third, we've got resources for you at datadoctors.com/radio. And of course, we've got the show in record mode, so we will get the audio archives of this show posted up as soon as we can after the show. The audio archives for each and every show and all the resources going back, gosh, I think we go all the way back to like 2000 or 2001. We've got those posted right there at our site, datadoctors.com/radio. You click where it says previous shows and you can just go way, way back in time. Do your thing. Kind of like we were talking about before the break, going back in time. Now, before we get back to the phones, before we talk more about Windows 7, it's time for us to do a little something. A little something-something we call our Geek Speak of the Week. Each and every week, and I do mean each
and every week.
We bring to you a phrase, an acronym, something from the vernacular of geekdom. You know, the geeks, the nerds, the jerks, the guys that try to talk down to you. We want to help you understand what it is they're saying so you can fight back. And we call that our Geek Speak of the Week. Robert?
And this week's Geek Speak of the Week is YouTube Moment.
YouTube Moment.
YouTube Moment. A moment, a short event where you wish you had a video camera with you. The internet equivalent of a Kodak moment.
A Kodak moment. Used to be. That's a Kodak moment.
But with the world of video cameras.
Right. Now it's a YouTube moment. Remember that the other night, Kevin? When? Well, we probably shouldn't talk about that.
You know, there was a YouTube moment at Data Doctors that I would have loved to got on camera. One of the data recovery guys decided at his house that he was going to fix his wireless signal to make it stronger. So he stood on top of a stool to fix it.
No.
And the guy's clumsy as it is. He's always hurt. But he slipped off of it and fell on his back, but yet hurt his leg. Don't know how it happened. But
fell on his back, hurt his leg.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... I know who you're talking about. He's clumsy, but somehow...
He's brilliant.
He gets stuff that nobody...
I think he's just more intuitive, but yet he just can't make his legs do what he really wants it to do.
Yeah. That would have been a YouTube moment for sure.
So everybody could join in on the joke.
And just so you could understand how he fell on his back but hurt his leg. Anyway, YouTube moment. You get what that is I don't even know what to say about that. Back to the phones?
That's
what we're going to do. Because back to the phones is all I know how to do. And it's Roxanne who's up next on the Computer Corner. Roxanne.
Hi there.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I have a kind of a strange question. I built both my computers, and they both run about the same core. And when I upgraded to the cooler air fans, because I was having lots of problems with overheating, one computer, it works great. One computer, every year I have to reapply the coating you stick between the CPU and the fan.
Roxanne, I already got to tell you, you already are awesome because you know what that stuff is and you know what it does.
Mm-hmm.
See, the average person listening to this show has no idea what you're talking about. She's talking about something called thermal grease.
There we go.
Yeah. And it's something that's, trust me, it's inside your computer in most cases, and it creates a better bond between the cooling vents and fans and your processor than just nothing alone. So anyway, you have to replace this from time to time. You have overheating problems. You're trying to get better cooling.
Yeah.
Where's this going?
I've tried switching. Every year I have to, this sealant dries up and it cracks, so I lose the connection between the two. My CPU, my computer shuts down because the CPU overheats. I've tried switching the fans because they're the exact same brand, same model, and it's still the same problem, but the fan that I thought was bad works good in the other computer. So I'm wondering if the CPU could be overheating still.
Could be.
If it was bad to begin with.
Yep, could be that the CPU itself is bad. Could be the motherboard. It could be a lot of different things. Are these machines, by any chance, machines that don't have Intel processors but instead have AMD processors inside?
No, it's an Intel processor. They're both the Pentium 4s, 4000 at 1.8 gigahertz. They're just generics, and it's a generic MSI board on both systems. I build them both, and it's just one of these things. It's been like 2 years. It's driving me nuts.
Yeah, well, those were sort of the last generation of Pentium 4, where they were obsessed for a while with clock speed, meaning getting faster and faster, and then they figured out that, wait a minute, we can only go so fast that way, so let's try to have it do more things at the same time and not focus so much on how fast it does one thing, but how many things it can do at the same time. And so that's in a weird range of processors that the reason they started to have to focus instead away from speed and on multiple tasks is because of the problem you're having. At some point, you get the faster you go, the more heat you create. You can only dissipate so much of that heat.
Okay.
I actually have an older machine that's my wife's computer that has the same processor in it, and I have constant problems with it overheating. I have to open up the machine and spray out, you know, like with compressed air.
Yeah, I do that once a month because I get lots of cat hair.
Yeah, and what's nuts is I've been in this business a long time, you know, as a normal course of what we do, we clean out the insides of computers. We spray out that stuff. We get the dust out because you inherently know that's not good for it. But mm-hmm. I've never seen it make the kind of difference it makes on her machine, on anybody else's. And so it's amazing how a little tiny bit of dust on those machines, it's super sensitive, will make that fan run faster and faster and make things run hotter and hotter.
Okay, so that's probably my problem. I'm running too much software for it.
Well, no, but there's a couple of things you can try. Getting a new fan isn't always the best way to get more cooling. There are different kinds of what's called heat sinks that you can try.
Okay.
There's bigger ones, and getting fans that are larger in size. A fan, for example, that's let's say, gosh, they go in millimeters, but for you and I, let's just talk about a fan that's maybe 2 inches across in both directions.
Mm-hmm.
For that fan to move the same amount of air as a fan that's maybe 4 inches across. Right? It has to work four times as hard.
Uh-huh.
And so bigger fans move more air with less RPMs than smaller fans, meaning that trying to add a case fan, a large one, the largest you can fit inside the case to it, may help quite a bit. The other thing that doesn't look great, but that I've seen people do and have a lot of success with, is just take the side panel off and leave it off.
Okay.
It gets a lot more air in circulation. And like I said, it doesn't look great, but you're talking about a weird range of machines that, you know, it's not worth pouring a bunch of money into because the thing's now, what, 3.5-4 years old?
Yeah.
And, you know, they do have overheating problems, and that's why where we're at today is a significantly different place, because they realize we just can't keep making them faster and faster. This makes no sense. So.
Okay. Cool. Well, thank you so much for your help. I'll just leave the cover off. I've been doing that too, but I always hate the cats getting into it. It's like, oh, great. You know?
Well, electric shock, I think. No, I'm kidding.
Well, thank you so much.
Good luck, Roxanne. Thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You're talking about barbecued cat.
Barbecued cat. Only if they get really close, I think. Let me see. You know what? Pete will kill me. I won't do it, Pete. He would have just cut me off anyway. We're going to take a quick time out here. We got a line open for you at 602-277-5827. We come back. More of your calls and questions right here on the Computer Corner. Welcome back to the Computer Corner. It's the Data Doctors here to hook you up with technology love. Each and every Saturday from 12 to 2 o'clock. That means noon, high noon, some would say. We've been doing it for over a decade and we're here for you. You can also find us online at datadoctors.com/radio. We're going to jump right back onto. We're going to get back to the phones. We're going to help people. We're going to hook them up. Up next is Renee, who has hard drive consternation. Renee, welcome.
Hi. My daughter's computer, Windows will not boot. You get the Windows screen, and then it goes right to that black and white screen. And I've tried to do F8. It won't go into safe mode or anything else.
Okay.
The only message I get there says on that screen is, multi-disk partition /Windows/System32/drivers, and then there's about a list of about 20 or 30 drivers, but I can't get it to do anything else, and my main concern is getting her data.
Okay, well, that's a good main concern, and there's a couple of things. If it was me, and I had this machine sitting in front of me, I would take her hard drive, and I would hook it up to another working computer, which would allow me to... Okay, so you got it hooked up?
I don't have it into the other machine.
Okay.
And that was one of my questions. Somebody told me you could turn it into a slave and get it that way, but I don't know how to do that.
Yeah, so the easiest way, if you're going to try to attempt that on your own, the easiest way for sort of a average consumer to try that out would be to first, can you identify the drive? If you were to open up her computer, do you know what you're looking for?
I have the drive out. I have the hard drive out.
Perfect.
I just don't have it into the other computer.
That's the first step. So the easiest way is, rather than try to figure out how to hook it up to your computer and change the way it's configured and make sure your machine see all these crazy things.
Right.
If you go out and buy a external hard drive enclosure, these things run $20 to $40 depending on what you get.
Okay.
It would allow you to take that drive and hook it up to this little enclosure deal. And then you boot your computer up, the working one, and you just plug this external drive enclosure with her drive inside of it. You plug it into your USB port on your computer.
Okay.
And it'll see it as another hard drive. And then from there, you can drag and drop or copy or backup or do whatever it is you want to do.
Okay.
Does that make sense? That's the easiest way to get from here to there.
Okay. So I could actually hook that up to my laptop as opposed to opening up the other desktop?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, wonderful. Does it matter that she has a different version of Windows XP? They're all Windows XP, but they're different.
It shouldn't. Now, I say that, I'll give you that with a caveat. If she had Windows XP Professional and the other machines do not, and she installed or turned on something called drive encryption or file encryption, which is sort of advanced and weird and kind of unusual, that would make it near impossible to get that stuff off.
Okay. No, I don't know how to do that, so she doesn't know how to do that.
Okay. So, the next step becomes, I'm going to jump through a few hoops for you to help you understand.
Okay.
Just getting that drive hooked up and recognizable in and of itself is only going to do one thing, and that's going to be get you access to the data so you can make a copy, which is the most important part, but it's where the fun begins, not ends.
Okay.
From then, you've got to recognize that all you can get is the information from the drive.
Okay.
And not the programs.
Okay.
So, for example, if you got all of her Word documents.
Right.
You'd have to make sure that whatever machine you were going to try to open them on had Microsoft Word installed, otherwise they wouldn't open.
Okay.
The same thing goes for her financial stuff, her spreadsheets, her pictures. Well, pictures are a little bit different. Pictures and music, those should sort of just work.
Okay.
But most of the other stuff you're going to care about from a data standpoint, you're going to have to make sure you have the right programs installed to access that stuff. Or if the eventual goal is to get her machine back up and running, after you get Windows installed, you'll have to reinstall those programs. So you got to make sure you find all the disks and things and get that rolling.
Right.
Does that all make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So
yeah, they all have this. I mean, they all have the same Word program, all that kind of thing.
And it sounds sort of obvious, but people sometimes will get these external drives and plug in this thing, and they go on their other computer, and they expect to click on start and see all kinds of programs that weren't there before, and it just doesn't work that way.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, great. That's great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Good luck with that, Renee.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Bye. That opens up a line for you, 602-277-5827. We got about a minute or so before we go to break. We've been talking a little bit about Windows 7, the latest, newest, most goodest version of Windows, we're led to believe, that is tentatively going to be launching maybe as soon as October, maybe as late as January, February next year. Hard to say at this point.
There's a feature within Windows 7 that I've been reading at. No, we'll talk about it after the break.
Oh, can you give me a hint? Can you just tease me a little bit about what that feature might be?
If you're into games,
yeah,
you're probably going to like this.
Games like solitaire or something more than that?
We'll talk about it. Let's not get excited. Settle down.
If you're a gaming kind of guy or gal, Windows 7 might have something hidden under the hood that's going to hook you up. We'll talk about that and, of course, more of your calls and questions right here on the Computer Corner. We're going to take a quick timeout, and when we come back, we're going to hook you up. Stick around. Let's say you were in need of a new computer, and let's say that you really didn't like that Windows Vista thing, and let's say that you had a hard time finding a Windows XP computer, and let's say you wanted to hold off for at least a few months. Let's say you might be interested in Windows 7, the new version of Windows. Let's say it's not available yet, so let's say you just decided, where can I find out more information about that? Let's say you also weren't paying any attention to the first half of this show, or worse yet, you didn't tune in. Well, you're in luck, because Kevin and Robert and I have been talking about it for the last hour and 37 minutes. We've got information and resources posted for you. Let's just say they're available at datadoctors.com/radio, and of course the audio archives of this show will be available shortly after the show ends. And for those of you on iTunes, you can subscribe to our podcast by just searching for Data Doctors. You'll find it. You know what to do once you subscribe to the podcast, right? You know that means that you tell it one time, I want this show. And it goes and gets not just this episode, but all future episodes of this show and lets you listen to it on demand on your schedule. That's how we hook you up. So check that out. datadoctors.com/radio for the resources. Now you can also hit the podcast there, or people sometimes can't figure that out. So they just go straight to iTunes, search for it, and you're in luck and you're in love all at the same time. Back to the phones.
No, I was going to tell you about
the I'm a gamer and
the Windows 7 feature that you would like.
You're going to hook me up. Well, I'm not a gamer, but I'll pretend. Go ahead.
Well, you know, there's people that out there that have Xbox 360s, PlayStation 3s, and they play their games on them. And Windows 7, rather than going through this convoluted process of trying to find a piece of software that'll allow you to play those games on the computer, Windows 7 has it built in.
Now, is that real, or is that from one of those? There's a couple of spoof sites out there that talk about all these cool new features. And
it's one that was actually linked from datadoctors.com radio show page.
Huh. I wonder if we
if we fell for something stupid.
Is that the same one that talks about a new cool filing system that has an acronym that's missing that probably will become like WDOS or MDOS?
Yes.
Yeah, that's all spoofs, dude.
This is? It's on PCMagazine.com.
I'm pretty sure that's all. Go to like the last couple of features. Like, it's the top 10 features, and go to like 9 and 10 and tell me what you think after you check those out. And meanwhile, while you're doing that, we're going to jump back on the phones and see if we can help out. Up next, looks like Michelle, who's stuck in a time. Well, it sounds like she's stuck in the Twilight Zone. Michelle, welcome to the Computer Corner. How can we help?
I have a problem with my computer. When I had a virus and I tried a bunch of different antivirus programs to get rid of it, and I finally did get rid of the virus, but my computer screen went completely blue. The only program I could run was through Taskmaster, and when I told it to restart, it won't load Windows anymore.
Okay.
Is there any way to get it to work now, or did I completely kill it?
Whatever's happened, it won't. You can't boot into Windows, or I think I'm missing something.
It won't. It will load the brand name screen, Compaq, and then it'll go to load Windows, and then it'll go right back to the brand name screen.
Okay, so that's stuck in what we call a reboot loop, and something has gone very, very wrong. There's two things. We gave a one of our first callers very similar advice. Do you know how to get into something called safe mode?
Yes.
Okay, so have you tried going in safe mode at all?
It doesn't work.
Doesn't work there either. Okay, something underlying in sort of the core of Windows got damaged is what it sounds like.
Okay.
And that needs to be resolved. And there's a number of ways to sort of go about that. This is a brand name, you said, a Compaq computer?
This is the second computer this has happened to, same virus. And I now have my nice new gaming Dell computer that did this last month.
Okay.
And now I have my older Compaq that started doing this yesterday.
Right. To fix this, Windows has either got to be repaired, which is an attempt, and if that doesn't work, then you can reload. The most important part, again, is that you have everything you care about backed up. Now, you can try to take the disks that came with this, assuming you have your stuff backed up, and you can stick them in, and what they're designed to do is those disks that came with it, the system restore, reset disks, they're designed to sort of put it back to the way it was when you first bought it. And,
okay.
and that at least gets it operating. And the downside is that, of course, all your programs, your data, your settings, all those things are gone. Plus, you've got to get Windows updated, which means all the service packs, all the downloads. There's a lot of work there.
Okay.
But that's sort of for a general user, do-it-yourselfer kind of thing. That's probably going to be your best route.
What if I don't have the fixed disks?
Do you at least have the disks for the operating system?
No, the only disks I have are like for video cards and things like that.
Yeah, so then you're going to need to obtain disks somehow. Now, if it's a name brand computer, you can go back to the manufacturer and contact them, and it's a process. But you can generally, once you get through to the right kind of people, get them to send you a replacement set of disks for a fee, and it'll be a small fee, cover shipping and handling, that kind of thing.
Okay.
The other option is to... you know, obviously, if you got a friend that knows how to take care of this kind of stuff, they can probably help you out. If there's, I'm assuming there's like a sticker on the side of the computer that has the Windows key, the license, that kind of thing?
Probably.
Okay, so if that's there, than anybody who does this sort of for a profession. If people come into our stores all the time, they don't have their discs, as an example, right? And mm-hmm. and that's not a big deal, because as long as they have the license, the key code that's on the side of the machine, that's a sticker that's fixed on there, as long as it's on there, we can then use our discs with their key, and that's legal and cool, and everybody's happy, right?
Okay.
So that's another option. You'll be paying for a little bit of somebody's time, but the good news is if you go that route, somebody could try to fix and repair Windows rather than reinstall, which will save you a bunch of trouble and time on the back end, where you don't have to reinstall your stuff and, you know, rehook up with your email and all that kind of thing.
Would that leave me with my information, or have I pretty much lost all my information?
It's going to depend on how bad the damage is, and without, you know, without seeing it, somebody needs to kind of take a look and evaluate that. Now, if you're in the Phoenix area, right?
Goodyear.
Okay. I mean, you're welcome to go by one of our stores, and we just we'll, for free, we'll take a look at it, go through the whole thing, give you what your options are, and tell you what we can do for you.
Okay. Are you on the west side anywhere?
Yeah, probably. Gosh, the closest to where you're at would be up in Arrowhead at 67th Ave and Deer Valley, I believe.
Okay, I know that area.
Okay, you can go on our website and just plug your zip code in, and it'll point you in the right direction.
Yeah, my computer is not working for that.
Yeah, that's right. You told me that. Hey, you know, I always assume that, you know, the internet, just go to the internet. But I guess if your computer's not working. Duh.
I'll check out at my mom's house, though, I think.
Michelle, you just clowned me, and I liked it.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
Have a good one.
Bye-bye. Is that like that Katy Perry song? She clowned me, and I liked it. No, I don't know.
I've never heard what you're talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about either. It made the phones light up like crazy, though, so, hey, I don't know. Let's continue on with Dan, who has... problems with a zipper or something like that, right, Dan?
Yes.
Yes.
Anytime I try to use WinRAR or WinZip to open a compressed file, it locks up my machine.
Okay, that doesn't sound like a good thing.
No, it isn't. And the only way I can get out of it is a hard shutdown. Task Manager won't do anything. It won't. Task Manager will not open. And nothing happens.
What version of Windows are you running?
XP.
Okay. And you're talking about WinZip, the program, or something else?
Well, it's WinRAR.
WinRAR, yeah.
Anything that is compressed with WinRAR, WinZip, if I try to decompress a file with that program, it locks up the machine.
Okay, so my advice would be to uninstall that program, and either you could choose to go re-download the latest version and install it, or a lot of the sort of compressed file formats, Windows can deal with sort of natively on its own.
I have uninstalled and reinstalled WinRAR, WinZip. So
you're saying WinRAR or WinZip as if they're the same program. WinRAR, which you're talking about, is one piece of software. WinZip is another piece of software, and Windows has its own ability to deal with zip files, so they're different things. So are you talking about removing all of them, or you only have one and you're thinking it's the same?
No, it doesn't matter. WinRAR will decompress either WinRAR or WinZip.
I got that, yeah.
And it doesn't matter which file compression I try to decompress. It locks up the machine in only one. The PC doesn't do that. It's only on a Sony notebook where it's gotten this into it that it locks up. And as soon as I try to click to decompress a file, then
you're sure you've tried removing the program? You've completely uninstalled it, so it's no longer in your system. And
yes,
then gotten...
yes, with the Windows uninstaller. Now, if there's another uninstaller program...
No, that's what you'd want to use. Okay.
Yeah,
so
I have done that, and I've done it more than once.
Okay, so the other thing you'd want to check, make sure you're not... It's not possible you're out of drive space wherever you're trying to unzip this thing, right?
Right, yeah. No, not at the time. Yes, I am nearly out of drive space
okay.
now.
Okay. Well,
but at the time, I had already 2 gig free. A notebook, it's partitioned so that there's 12 gig in C drive, and then the other 40 or plus is in D drive.
Well, if right now your issue is that you're filling up on drive space, there's not a lot of advice I can give you, because without that problem solved, I mean, there's something else going on there. So, Dan, my best advice to you would be to try to unzip it on some other machine. And if you're having that problem, it's only when you're unzipping things. Something tells me that program you're using or something with that computer doing that operation is not good. And the good news is you've solved about half the problem. You've narrowed it down. And now it's just figuring out what the specific issue is. And for that, I don't think over the air I'm going to be able to hook you up. So sorry about that, Dan. Thanks for the call. We got to take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to do a quick wrap up. And we'll talk to Joe. He's hanging out there with a problem as well. Stick around. If you missed any part of the show, you need not be fearful. Because we compiled a list of lots of resources if you're interested in Windows 7. And they're available for you anytime, day or night, at datadoctors.com/radio. And of course, you can go way back in time, including audio archives. And the audio archive for this show, we posted up just as soon as we can, right after the show. So, again, if you miss parts of the show, it's not going to hurt too bad. We'll make sure to hook you up very shortly. We're going to go back to the phones and try to help out the last guy hanging, because we try to hook everybody up. And that's Joe, who has he has network problems, I think. Joe?
Hey, guys. I appreciate the help.
You bet. How can we?
Let's see. I just got a new gaming rig. It's a Dell XPS 730X. Now, my previous system, I was running a USB port from the modem. This one, I'm running straight Ethernet off that line. However, I noticed when I was doing some downloading, I was bringing in like 2.0, and then it would drop down real low at some points. And also, I do some multiplayer online gaming, and I keep getting booted like off my TeamSpeak, and then the games will crash as well. So, is that strictly a modem side issue, or what might be causing that?
I think I'm confused a little bit. You're sure. Just when you're playing these online games?
When the system's running itself, it's no problem at all. But like if I'm doing like the multiplayer type of version, then that's when I experience the lag. And I get disconnected from the at that point.
Okay, and you're plugged in. Are you through wireless, or how do you?
No, it's straight. It's Ethernet line directly from the modem to the tower.
Okay, it just might be that's just kind of the world of some of those games out there. There's some other things. Do you have anything going on in the background in your machine? Like,
no, it's a brand new system. It's bare bones.
Right, but let me finish. A lot of people will go and start doing a big download through, let's say, a P2P network or a BitTorrent site or a news group or something where you're trying to download or upload something very large.
No, there's nothing running, and I usually, when I first come on, I go ahead and any processes that I don't need, I shut off first so that I get the best out of my system.
Okay, are you plugged into a router, or is it straight from the, you said it was cable or DSL?
Yeah, my ISP is a local one down here, and I have the highest that I can get. The best package from them that I can get.
Which who is it?
Of Cox.
Okay, so you're are you plugged straight in though to the cable modem, or do you have a router between you and that?
No, I don't come directly out of the cable into the computer. There's a router between the two.
Okay, you might want to just try. It's not something to leave very long term, but try plugging straight into your cable modem. You'll need to restart the cable modem. So you'll come from the wall, the coax, into your cable modem straight to your PC.
Sure.
It's going to eliminate that thing in between, which is your router. Now, again, you want to make sure you have a decent firewall. The Windows firewall is fine. Just have that enabled
Correct.
And turned on. And see if you don't get a different result. And if you do, then there's two things. One, you might want to try to see if there's something called a firmware upgrade for your router.
Okay.
If you can give that a shot. If that doesn't work, it may also be. There are some routers that we've found that are a couple of years old that the internet speeds back then were not as fast as they are today, and there was some limits there, and you may be running into one of those limits with your router, depending on what it is and how old and that kind of thing. And of course, the other thing you'd check is if you're still having issues, switch the cable out. I mean, cables are cheap. Replace the cable, not the coax, but the Ethernet,
the Ethernet cable. Sure.
Right. Replace that and check all those things out. But let's get that router that thing in the middle. Let's get that out of the middle for a little bit and see if we get different results.
You betcha.
Okay?
All right, thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
You bet. Hey, thanks for the call, Joe. We appreciate it.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye. Did I push the right? I did push the right button.
So a lot of those online games, when you're connecting directly to like another server or something like that, there are some tricks that you can do, although it's not recommended for people who have just started out in computers, to play around in the router so you can forward ports that will kind of help make some of that stuff a little bit quicker in transmission.
Yeah, usually, if, depending on what specific game you're playing, see if they have some kind of like players forum and dig around in there under the technical section. You'll find people that will give you very specific advice for the game you're playing, telling you about settings you can change and things you can tweak and that kind of stuff. That sometimes will have an impact on it. There's lots of little things you can do, but it sounds like he's having some pretty major things. So hopefully, those are some ideas. What do you guys think? Windows 7, you ready to throw it on the first day it comes out?
I'm ready to see if it's worth it or not.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Again, if you missed any part of the show, datadoctors.com/radio. And until next time, remember, Robert wants you to know, if you don't need it, don't install it. See you next time.